We're learning about the Ovis, right? We're not learning a Sicha and Pashas HaShavua. We're learning a sequence of classes about the Ovis. We did Avraham, we were doing Yitzchak. Last week we did our last class on Yitzchak. Now we move on to Yaakov, or to Yaakov and Esav. And we're not going to talk about Esav that much. We're going to talk, obviously, much about Yaakov Avinu. But this particular sicha raises what is truly a difficult problem. We all know about Avraham and Yishmael, Yitzchak and Yishmael. Yitzchak was Avraham Avinu's son. He was his successor. He was the big tzaddik and so forth. Yishmael was Yishmael. In the Lashon HaMedrash, Yishmael yotza mimenu. Yishmael departed from Avraham Avinu. In other words, it's as if you were to say the relationship between Avraham Avinu and Yishmael was he donated genetic material, not spirit. There wasn't in Yishmael Avraham's spirit. There was in Yishmael Avraham Avinu's genes, but yotza mimenu, he became separate. The same is true of Esav. The Midrash Chazal say the same thing about Esav, that Esav is in the category of Yotza Mimenu, who was born from Yitzchak and then Yotza Mimenu. But there's two huge differences between Esav and Yishmael. Number one, he was born from the same mother that Yaakov Avinu was born. Esav Arash had a din of a Jew, as we discussed last week. Yishmael had a din of a Gentile because of who their mothers were. Rivka was a Yiddish Mame, Esav was her son. Moreover, Esav and Yaakov Avinu were twins, which means to say that they were in effect born at the same time, coming from the same place, going towards the same place, and yet one turns out to be the greatest tzaddik of all, and the other one turns out to be a terrorist, a bloodlustful person. And this creates a dilemma. You can explain Yishmael's Yotzei Mimenu because of Hagar. You perhaps would be able to explain the sinfulness of some Rasha, even if his parents were tzaddikim, both father and mother, because he was a preliminary, a pre-child, you know, a klipa kedemes lepri kind of thing. But they were twins. Yaakov and Esav were twins. How do you explain that this set of twins, this keres echad, as it's called in Chazal, one's a tzaddik and one's a Rasha? It's a curiosity. It needs to be addressed. It especially needs to be addressed because we do have suggestions that when Yaakov and Esav were growing up, they were the cutest, littlest twins you ever saw. They didn't look the same, right? They had very, very different physical appearances. But mommy dressed them up the same, and they took pictures, and they were so wonderful in nursery, and in kindergarten, and in pre-1A, and in first grade. And they both were very bright, they did very well in school, they were well behaved, they cleaned up after themselves, they even washed their plates, they made their beds. They were wonderful children until they reached the age of 13 or 15. And then boom. Yaakov continued in the old way and Esav went out into the field and the rest is history. But in their youth, they were indistinguishable. Esav as a child was a Hasidic child. Moreover, as we're about to learn, Esav's bar mitzvah, oh, if you would have heard Esav's pilpul, you would have said, wow, he's going to be a Gadol B'Yisrael. You would say, the Maim may say, wow, what a Hasidish Abacher. Because even at the time of his bar mitzvah, the colors that would eventually emerge from Esav had yet to emerge, and you saw two Hasidish kinder, two brothers, so different, yet but totally dedicated to the same end. They wanted to be like their grandfather and like their father, like their grandmother and like their mother. So we read the Sikh. And you know the rules goes, I'm reading only the underline, which means I'm not going to keep on telling you where I'm holding. Start with me and hang on. Shaitan Yalkut Shemeni, it says in Yalkut Shemeni. The Esav Hoya Bechlal. Esav and Yaakov were both Chassidish Kindalach, who grew up in a Chassidish house, went to Chassidish Chayden. They were wonderful children. They got very good report cards. Ela Shekilkul B'Maisav. It was in adulthood that Esav became corrupt. This haste. As the Taichun by Yigdalu, when the Taita tells us Yaakov and Esav grew up, it doesn't only mean biological growth and advancement, but gaklus, beruchnius, spiritual growth. Und wie der Yalkut sagt, vor dem, der Medrash says prior, Ha'adam ha'gadol ba'anokim. Who is the greatest man amongst giants? Ha'gadol el Avraham, Yitzchak, Yankiv, Shnikru, Gedalim. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yankiv, all called Gadol. And initially, Esav was a part of that Gadlos. Und das, was me gefind nach dem, as Esav is given a Rosha, when Esav later becomes a Rosha, is Valkilgal b'maisav, he was corrupted with his actions. So the Torah says to us that when Esav was a child, and even when he grew up as an adult, he's called Gadol. Yankiv is called Gadol, and Esav is called Gadol. So it turns out that this question is even stronger. Esav HaRasha got the same chinuch as Yankiv, and he grew up the same. But the Bar Mitzvah, they were both tzaddikim. After the Bar Mitzvah, they continued to be tzaddikim. And only later that Esav was makalkel. He ruined himself. And the Rebbe says, Eich, der Zeyer is Mefarash. The same idea you have in Medish, also have in Zeyer. As Vayigdil Hana'ara meint, Aruch Niyazdik HaGadlos. That the boys grew up means a spiritual growth, means to say initially Esav and Asher, Esav and Yankov are indistinguishable. So we have to figure this out. We have to understand what was the story of the life of Esav versus Yankov. What kind of person was he? What kind of child was he? Now you should really be asking me a question. Why? Keep reading. How can we say, as Esav mitzadatzmi is given a roitz and a gadol beruchnius, that Esav grew up as a wonderful child and he had the potential to be spiritually great? Moreover, as eres bepeil given a gadol. In fact, when he had his bar mitzvah, when he became an adult, he was still a tzaddik. His initius only emerged later. Not then noch kilkel b'maisav. It was afterwards that his actions became corrupted. Be'ez, we know. What do we know? As if in pasuk vayisreitzu to habonim bekirba zogin chazal, Rivka's pregnant for heaven's sakes. Esav's not even born yet, and the Medrash tells us they were arguing. As shein b'mei imi had Esav zir gerissen to avodah zarah. He was in utero, he wasn't even born, and he was ripping himself to avodah zarah. How do you reconcile the Medrash, which suggests that even at his bar mitzvah and beyond, he was still a gadol? If in utero he was already running to Avodah Zarah, and again, this is the secondary question. This is this Sikh's question. The primary question is, how do you explain Esav coming from Yitzchak and from Rivka in the same keres with Yankov Avinu? Page 100 down. Even pasuk vayisreitu to abonim bekirba. And of course, the Rebbe does a typically Rebbe thing. He answers a question with another question. On this pasuk, the two brothers competed. Zogin chazal machapidush. There's another interpretation. As the Yisraisitzus and Kigerai, Tzivishin Yankiv and Esav, they're fighting and arguing with Yankiv and Esav, and Given Birach, Lashnei Elamis, they were arguing about inheriting the two worlds, Bishul Elam Hazah, Ve'elam Habah, this world and the next world. Yankiv and Esav wanted this world, Yankiv wanted this world and the next world, Esav wanted this world and the next world. Frag der Rebbe is Tamu, I don't understand. That sounds like a very, very even deal. Why? Esav had gevolt elam hazeh. Esav as a rasha wanted this life. Well, Yankiv elam abo. Yankiv as a tzaddik wants the other world. What's there to argue about? You'll get this and I'll get this. So what are they arguing about? Both worlds. Muzman zagen. This question opens us up to the idea. As Esav had gevolt nishnor elam hazeh. Esav wanted this world, but he also wanted the other world. Well, Yankiv nishnor elam abo. Yankov Taka wanted Elam Haba, but he wanted this world as well. In other words, now Yedirif and Zehad give all to Beda Elamas. Each one wanted both worlds. So now we have our next question. Is Tamu of a Basel, Esav Arasha, Vel Nilam Haba? Esav is Arasha, why did he want Elam Haba altogether? So we forgot about the question of that he grew up at Tzaddik and later was Miskalkal if in his mother's womb he was already Arasha. We moved on to the question of why Esav wants Elam Haba. The Rebbe says, the answer to this question goes like this. The Lacheira is Tamua. We can ask a question. The Aviz Anigavena Merkava Tzeratz Nalim. All of us know that our patriarchs and matriarchs were a chariot for God Almighty. V'yal Rebbe's Mevayit in Tanya, like it says in Tanya. Is Doch Poshet, if Avraham and Sarah are Merkava for Elikus, Yitzhak and Rivka are Merkava for Elikus, Yankiv and Sarah and Rivka, Lay and Rachel are Merkava for Elikus, is Doch Poshet understood? As they had told us, the children of Avraham and Sarah, Yitzchak and Rivka, were born with the ultimate holiness. Such parents. Hind. How could it be? As Yitzchak's azun will zirtzin b'teva shalei tzaveid azar. How could it be Yitzchak's son should naturally, before he's born, they be drawn to tzaveid azar? In other words, girls, we asked a question, we answered it with a question. Now this second question we're answering with a third question. How could it be Yitzchak's Esav is not born yet? If Esav is not born yet, the phenomenon of free will hasn't even begun to show itself. Until he exercises free will, he should be a tzaddik. Why? His father is a tzaddik. A merkava. Das was Esav is the noch is gewachsen a rasha. That he turns out later to be a rasha is king kasha. That's not a big deal. Why? Val kilkil b'maisav, his actions became corrupted because yedem mentions about b'chira. You have free will. So fear is achvi, you to do what you wish. And if you want to be a rasha, you could be a rasha. But before you're born, where's the free will in that? Before Esav is born, he's running to Avodah Zarah. Why? Good question, huh? Now remember, this is supposed to answer the question about wanting Eilam Haba, which is supposed to answer the question about Vayigdilu Hana'ara. Daz Akman Abba, we're saying here, as Noch Eidir Eres Gibbonim Yavon, before Esav is born, Hata Shechshen Yitzegin to Avodah Zarah, he was already drawn to idol worship, and this doesn't make any sense. Okay? Question 1, question 2, question 3. Now girls, you know what's going to happen, right? We're going to answer these questions backwards. Question 3 first, question 2 second, and question 1 last. So the third question is, if Avraham and Yisara and Yitzchak and Rivka are such tzaddikim, how could their children be a rasha before they even have a chance to do free will? Okay, this is the last question. It's going to be answered first. And we read up. The Rebbe without the explanation is as follows. And the Rebbe says something very, very nice. Very interesting. The Rambam in Shmeine Prokem is Mevar. The Rambam has an introduction to Pirkei Avos, which is one of the most important pieces of Jewish theology and philosophy ever written, which the Rambam calls the 8 chapters, because that's what it is, 8 chapters. And in the 8 chapters of the Rambam, it says, the Tzvei Efani Avodah, there's 2 paths to God. Number 1, a chassid ha-me'ula, an ideal chassid, parenthesis, v'siz melech ha-tchilim entaveh, nor tzutev, who only has an interest in godliness. When akevish, yes, yes, the one who suppresses his yeh sarah, top of the second column, 101. Velch is misavel apulei sarois, who desires bad actions, v'yichpesh yisitzen, he has to suppress his yetzer hara. There's 2 types of Jews, 2 paths to God. The truth is, you have the same idea in Tanya chapter 27, what the Alter Rebbe brings. Hashem has a mixed palate. He likes different diet. He likes the struggle and the eskafi of the benyani. He loves the delight and the transformation of the tzaddik, and we each give him something different. In our service to him, therefore, we could be righteous people who give him sweetness, and we could be ordinary people who give him the struggle of our lives. And it's called Chosid, Hama'ula, and Kevesh Yitzri. For the Tzichasbara, the question is, we all understand that our patriarchs are a chariot. Who is the Simon Labonim for Maisei Avos? Where do you see in Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov if the Aved from Kevesh is Yitzri? The Rambam says there's 2 paths to God, right? Let's call it, if you wish, Tzaddik and Baal Tshuva. The Tzaddik's life is peaceful and enlightened, the Baal Tshuva's path is a struggle. And Hashem gets pleasure from both, like it says in Tanya chapter 27. Question is, the Avos were all Tzaddikim, complete Tzaddikim. If the Avos were all tzaddikim, and perfect tzaddikim, and complete tzaddikim, how do they represent the Baal Tshuva model? What's wrong with them not representing the Baal Tshuva model? Why do we have a question that the Avos don't represent the Baal Tshuva model? This is very poshut. Because Maisa Avos Simon Labanim, everything about our lives is preordained by their lives. And if their lives there's no Aveda, and if there's no Tshuva, how could we have that? Where do you see in the Avos the option of doing an Aveda and doing Tshuva? And then you say, no, we won't do the Aveda in the first place. Where do you see this in the lives of the Avos? So the Rebbe first suggests that this is, the Avedas were outside of them. The world attacked them. Their Ra came from their environment, from the world around. The Rebbe doesn't like it. But if you go to page 102, he gives you a second explanation. Eina from the Asbares in them. One of the explanations is the following. The Maila von Kevish Yitzre is in dem was a di gvura. Kegens an Yitzre ra brengt a reis wie stark es zugewinnen zum Hebishta. This is a famous idea which is found in Chassidus. I've talked about it many times. Chassidus gives an example of a giber, of a strong man who comes into a country, into a city. Nobody knows how strong he is. and he wants to announce his strength. How does he do it? He goes over to the biggest rock he can find and he picks it up. If there is a rock which he lifts, and there's another rock which is 20 or 30 or 40% heavy that he cannot lift, you know his limit of his strength is somewhere between this rock and this rock. What were to happen if he can lift absolutely every rock in the whole city? You haven't shown the end of his strength. Right? So Gevura has to be demonstrated. Hashamayim misaprim kveid kel. The heavens tells the greatness of God. Moshal Lagiba Shanichal Medina, the Avna the whom is Geishish, but he pushes over a heavy boulder, you know how strong he is. But in order to have his strength demonstrated by pushing over a boulder, you have to have a boulder. You have to have an obstacle. You have to have a Yetzer Hara. The others don't have a Yetzer Hara. If the others don't have a Yetzer Hara, how do we see in them this strength that they have? So the Rebbe says that when a person fights with the Yetzer Hara, he reveals his inner strength. Correct? Similarly, revealing your inner strength is the equivalent of fighting with the Yetzer Hara. Let's continue. When the fat is ma'isa of a similar bottom, the meaning that our ancestors, our patriarchs and matriarchs, provide us a sign that we too should be able to do tshuva. Oich benegei to that avei defun, kevish esitzner, and avei defun tshuva, suppressing the Yetzer Hara and doing tshuva, is vail ot dem tekef as kashas tzamei bishnim. This incredibly powerful attachedness to Hashem, which is called charib, which is called merkava, is a symptom of gevura. In other words, the Rebbe does, in effect, algebra. He does math. He says the following. We have two paths to God, the tzaddik path and the baal tshuva path. What's the surface of it? What's the chitzenius of a tzaddik versus the baal tshuva path? The surface, of course, is the tzaddik's path is holy. The baal tshuva's path is a struggle. And he says, these are two legitimate ways to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Rebbe says, wait. If there's two legitimate paths to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we should see in the Avos both of those paths. We should see in the Avos tzaddik, we should see in the Avos struggle. We do not see struggle. How do we have this path from the Avos? So the Rebbe says, I want to tell you something. What is the baal tshuva? Someone overcomes struggle? No. A baal tshuva is someone who reveals his inner power. He reveals his inner power in doing tshuva. But it's not about the tshuva, it's not about the sin, it's about the inner power. So the Rebbe says, can we determine the inner power of the Avos without them needing to do tshuva? If we can identify the gevura, the inner power of the Avos, with no sin and no tshuva, we will have from them also kevish esister. In other words, the tzaddik is an easy street, on a holy street. It all goes good. The baal tshuva is fighting. The Avos are not fighting because they're nothing to fight with. But if you can identify a gevura in them, you've identified the kayach for tshuva. Not tshuva itself, but the power of tshuva. Says the Rebbe, of course the Avos demonstrated that gevura. Why? They were merkava. Any being who so bottled Hashem to be called merkava isn't only living an easy street, he's demonstrating his inner gevura. In other words, girls, the Rebbe says, if the Avos did not have a certain attribute, we wouldn't be expected to deliver it. We wouldn't have it either. The Avos with tzaddikim, they give us inspiration for tzaddik. The Avos were not rishayim, but they still give us strength about each other. Why? Because the whole idea of about tshuva, this excessive gevura, this incredible strength, we didn't see sin in the Avos, we didn't see tshuva in the Avos, but we saw strength. You get it? So the extra strength we see in the Avos inspires in us the extra thing that's going to be required when one is about tshuva and a kevish yisitza. So, we have three questions. What was the third question? The third question was, how do the Avos provide for us the inspiration and the lead for the idea of Kevish Yisitzrei? We now know the answer. The answer is because we saw in them an attachedness to Hashem, which has to come from strength. That strength is the basis for tshuva.
We're saying that the inning of Baal Tshuva is to reveal the inner strength, not necessarily to tshuva, but just to reveal the inner strength, right? Is it possible to reveal your inner strength without struggle?
That's what he's saying. That in the Avos you saw inner strength and you didn't see struggle. But it's good. As long as you see the inner strength, it empowers you that when in your life you'll have a struggle, you're about to draw from your inner. That's exactly what he's saying.
You know what? I'm thinking about your question and I actually agree with it. I think your question is very well taken. It's a brilliant question.
How could you reveal inner strength if there's nothing to provoke it? Right? I can't possibly lift this table with more force than the weight of the table requires. You can't do it. How can I reveal Gevura when I have no boulder? It's a very powerful question. And the answer is, I don't know. The language that the Rebbe used to resolve this is Merkava. How the Rebbe means Merkava in this case, I suppose what he means to say is, Merkava means as bottle as you could possibly ever be. Not as bottle as you are, but as bottle as you could possibly ever be. So I presume that that includes all kinds of gevura. But I agree with your question. I think your question deserves more attention.
I guess it's because we don't have it inside of us. We cannot imagine anything without a struggle, because that's why we don't relate, maybe.
Why can't a tzaddik do tshuva? Because he has no avedis. Here's a sikha that's saying, no, a tzaddik doesn't need avedis and tshuva, he just needs to be a makava.
Exactly. That's crazy.
Yeah. Okay.
But that's only by the avodah.
It doesn't matter. They set up for us everything we're going to need to do. By their own example. They obviously set up the path of tzaddik. How did they set up the path of Baal Tshuva? And the answer is in being so strongly connected to Hashem.
But we're like the Gibor, right? Like, we can only demonstrate our strength by lifting a boulder.
We don't have to do both. We're not the Avos.
That's what I'm saying.
The Avos need to provide inspiration for every Jew who will ever live. So they have to represent every type. You understand? That's why the Avos need to have this Gevura. Now, this answers question three. How do the Avos represent the Derech of Aveda, B'chassad HaMa'ula, and Kevesh Yisis? But now let's go back to question two. Do you remember question two? Question two is why Esav wants Elam Haba. Question one is, how can you reconcile Esav as an unborn baby wanting Aveda Zara with the idea that he grew up at Tzaddik, right? Mm-hmm. Let's keep going. On page 102, second column. V'baldas di'Aveda Sa'ovis, ha'tzich tzitel ben di'tfei suga manal. We know that our Ovis, who are both all Tzaddikim, represented in their lives two ways to God, meaning to say, a tzaddik's path to God and a Baal Tshuva's path to God, which they didn't have tshuva, but they had this gevura. Says the Rebbe, Hazardas Azoi Opkishpigel Benegezer tell this. Since they had to represent two paths, ultimately they would have two children who would represent not tzaddik and Rasha, but tzaddik and Gibir, which is Baal Tshuva. Yainke ve'esav ha'amudim be'parsha. There's Yainke ve'esav as they are in the Tate, as they're Yitzchak's children. Yainke ve'es ishtam yeshaval. Yainke ve'es sincere, and he sits in the tent. Ha'chosat ha'ma'ula, top of page 103 now. When Esav is ishe de'etzayet v'game, Esav is a man who knows how to hunt. In other words, he goes out into the world. But, what does he do in the world? Behetem to deraveda v'nkevish es yitzrei. In conjunction with the service of suppressing the Yetzer Hara, he goes out into the world, meets the Yetzer Hara, and fights him off. Und das hat sich angeheben noch als Teil des Vayesreitze zu bemei ihm und das Tadah before they were born. Esav's running to Aveda Zara, his non-born baby, because he loved Aveda Zara. Because he was looking for a fight. You see? Yaakov no interest in Aveda Zara. Esav wanted to fight for Aveda. The unborn Esav was running to the Aveda Zara, not because he liked Aveda Zara, because he liked the fight.
That's a chiddush.
It's an incredible chiddush. But the source of this is a medrash. Don't forget, there's a medrash that says Vayigdul and Adam. They both grew up tzaddikim, right? Their chilek is Abba. The difference is page 103, second paragraph. By the Abbas was heinin amar kavin Avraham. Since they were a chariot. Is nitake not from Metzias or Achas Hashem? There's no possible fever whatsoever. Mash Engel Bazeira tells us, but by their children, Vas Tel Day Zayin Dachnitavis. Children are not the parents. Nor Mirchutz Lohem Matzara them. Is Shaycha Metzias from Ra. In Avraham Yitzchak and Yankev, Tshuva is only Gvura. In Esav, Tshuva could mean Ra that you have to overcome. Ve'alderach Zeben Igeit to Esav. Second column. This is what happened to Esav. Das was er ist gewinn. The fact that he was, und er noch geboren, he was later born, mit der Teva zu ziehen sich zu Aveda Zara, with a tendency towards idol worship, ist das mit der Yitzchak. It came from his father. But as it came from his father, is given blois, it was simply zu kennen, durch dem, to be able through this, durch zu finden die Aveda, von Kevish, ist Yitzchak, to be able to conquer Yitzchak. Yitzchak was the reason Esav ran to Aveda Zara. Why? Because in Yitzchak there were two Avaidas, but he was one man. Yitzchak was a tzaddik, and Yitzchak had a gevura. In his children it was divided up. Each child took a different path. Yankov took from Yitzchak the tzaddik, and Esav took from Yitzchak the Gevura, which is by us, Tshuva. But in Yitzchak, it was all holy. No, Esav was a separate person, and he had free will. His Kilkel B'maisav became corrupted. When Yatzah Menu, he went and became separate from Yitzchak, and Atzich Obgetelt from the Shasta. So Yitzchak is separate from holiness of Yitzchak. So, this is the answer to questions 1 and 2. How could Rivka and Yitzchak have a son like Esav? The answer is Esav was just as holy as Yankiv. He had a different path. He had a path of going out into the world and transforming. And the Rebbe continues, Al Pizeh, but Menoich Fashteh. This also explains the Yisreitzitzus Umriva Tzivishin Yankiv and Esav and Yenachos Ne'elamim. We find that Yankiv and Esav are fighting not over one world, but over two worlds. Right? Why does Esav care about the Elam Haba? And why does Yankov care about the Elam Hazeh? Esav, before he's born. How is Esav before he's born? Does Esav, Yerznach, and Chom HaKadosh, he's still in holiness. His Fashtandik is understood that sein Demeldik and Welten will Elam Hazeh. When Esav is in his mother's uterus, Rechem, and he wants Elam Hazeh, he wants it. Why? He is an Inyan Shal Kedusha. It's Kedusha, it's holiness. When Mayus, it's favorable. And he heard from his father. What did he have from his father? A desire to go out into the world and transform it. The unborn Esav wants Avei Dezara to defeat it. Okay. On the other hand, by Yankov was different. Right? And the Rebbe explains. One of the differences between the Tzaddik and the Baal Tshuva is by a Chasar HaMu'ula, a perfect Tzaddik, Esav Avei Yes, Azayin Aveda is in the Aliyah Madargel Adargel Kedusha Gufa. His whole world is holiness. The Ribah the Herzich Ba'im, he feels as the Ikiv Atachas and Shleimus Aliyahs Elam Haba. When you're a tzaddik, all you want to do is go up. Why? Because that's what you're doing during your physical lifetime. You're growing spiritual from level to level, and therefore you want to have Elam Haba, the other world. Mashayin came back here with Yitzre. But if you're a person who's a tzaddik, who's fighting with the Yitzre Ra, that the head this person feels with their ikir myla bashtait in them, the primary advantage is aveda be'el mahat serving Hashem in this world. Vozayne farar meniyas v'ikuvim v'alomis v'stem, there are obstacles and blockages and interferences. Un erzich avzei mizgav v'keif sham, he strengthens himself against them and he wins them. If you're a tzaddik, you are no part of this world. If you're a baal tshuva, you want to engage in a fight. So Yankov wants elam haba and Esav wants elam hazeh. When their fire, therefore, is the Yisreitzitzus, top of page 104 now, the struggle between Yankov and Esav, given and again, Nachal Shnei Elmas, both of them want both worlds. Translates the Rebbe. Yeder fun di tzvei yefanim avoidah. Each of these two paths in avoidah is kol eichon mitzveit nevin, has a little bit of the other way. Eich ha-chosid ha-me'ula daftana v'das ne'el ma'adadafkid. You're the biggest chosid, you gotta live in this world. So Yankov knows it's about Elam Haba, but it's about Elam Hazeh as well. And the Rebbe continues. Well, Idach, on the other hand, Muzak Kevish Es Yisra. Even if you're a person who's involved in a struggle, Eile Zayimi Dargi Ladargi and Kedusha Guf, you have to grow in holiness, and Muzak uprights with Elam Hazeh, which means something in this world. In other words, Yankov wants Elam Haba, but Elam Hazeh is going to get him there. Esav wants Elam Hazeh, but he wants an Elam Hazeh, which is going to lead him to an Elam Haba. So they're arguing over two worlds. Why? Because as they are in Rechem of Rivka, they're both tzaddikim, but just different paths. And the Rebbe continues on the bottom. The mit is ech muzbe, the first kasha. Was Chazal zogen, as people are not a mate, when they grew up, even after bar mitzvah, godless ruchness, they're both very spiritual people. Why? Avram at machanak given ech esav in mitzvah. Avram was there, Zaydi was machanak given mitzvah. Bizer zol veren agorul beruchnius bepeil. Until he should grow up to be a yid spiritually as well. In other words, top of the second column. Avram haben digdem keich when yitzav es bonu besi achav der Hashem v'gemer. One of the great gifts Avram gave history is education. Right? I tell you this all the time. Avram gave the world three gifts: charity, monotheism, and education. Education means to teach your children to be like you, not like anything they want. Avram was the prototype of that. He was the father of that. So Yankov and Esav, his children, he gave them all of that. When das was their pasuk is mamshich as vayigdalu, then they grow up. For Esav v'tacharez v'lokam he Esav ish tzayid ish sade, and he wants to go into the field. Avram doesn't say no, don't go into the field. How does that in our culture? You'll fry out. You'll become a bum. No, Avram says, good, go out into the field, because in the field you'll find world, you'll struggle, and you'll win. So even as they're grown, Yaakov and Esav are both tzaddikim, the trouble starts later. So you have a very interesting, I think, oxymoron, paradox here. On the one hand, before Esav is born, he's already prone to Avodah Zarah. But why is he prone to Avodah Zarah? Because of the gevurah of tshuva that it's supposed to elicit. In other words, if Esav turns out to be good, like you learn in Chassidus, he's better than Yaakov. But on the other hand, his tendency, his nisayon, go out into the world. So we answered all of our questions. Yaakov and Esav were both in Yitzchak's sphere, tzaddikim. One is a pure tzaddik and one is a struggling tzaddik. As it would turn out, in fact, one would become a tzaddik, another one would become a rasha. But in their pre-birth, and in the time of their birth, and their youth, and even after they became adults, both of them still represent Avedas Hashem. It's only later that Esav becomes corrupt.
Maybe I missed it, but I was just wondering why did Esav become a Rasha when he did? The timing seems very random.
What's the problem? What's the problem? What's the question? What event sparked it?
Yeah.
The answer to that question should be, I don't know. It happened slowly. V'chlal, people slip and slide slowly. But the Midrash Chazal, he met Nimrod. And he wanted what Nimrod had. And Nimrod wouldn't give it to him. So he, what are the words? He liberated it from Nimrod. And in the process, he also liberated Nimrod's soul from his body, you understand? He killed his first person on the day of Ram Avinu died.